everybody. Put your hands together for being in church today. We are so excited that you are here. On behalf of Jen and myself, the entire team, thank you for being a part of City First. I want to welcome all locations right now. I want to welcome Cape Coral, Janesville, God Behind Bars, everybody on the Pando app, and everyone at City First Anywhere. We love you guys, and I hope you're having a great, great summer, this wonderful week in July. Today, we are continuing a series called Above It All, Above It All, and we're looking at the most influential sermon ever preached. This is our summer series. We're really diving into the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached a little over 2,000 years ago. And I want to talk about constructing a life that is built to last. In fact, turn to the person next to you and say, built to last. Built to last. Well, you know what? In 1999, the Catholic Diocese in Los Angeles decided that they were going to build a new cathedral for the city, and they named it the Cathedral of Our Lady of Los Angeles. Here's some pictures of it. It is a phenomenal, phenomenal building. It took about 3 years to build. It was completed in 2002, and the architect was given some very specific objectives by the Catholic Diocese while constructing this, while designing it and constructing it. First of all, the architect was told that it needed to withstand earthquakes, because for those people that live in LA, you know that earthquakes can happen there. Secondly, is that the diocese said, we want to make sure it reflects the mission of the church. In other words, that the church itself was welcoming, it was easy to navigate, that people could get in and out of it well. Kind of all the things you would think about when you're building a building, right? Another thing that the diocese said is we wanted to make sure that it reflected modern culture, yet held on to a traditional style. In other words, that, you know, most cathedrals, Catholic cathedrals, are in Europe, and they have kind of a Gothic style. Well, they didn't want to build that downtown Los Angeles, but they did want to have kind of some hints of the past, but make it very modern. The last objective was the most important one, and that is that the architect was told to design this building to make sure it would be lasting 500 years. To build it so that it would be here in 500 years. Now, I don't know of any building that I have any personal connection to or even know of outside of this one that ever was built to last 500 years. In fact, America right now is just shy of 250 years old. So think about it. What kind of vision and foresight that these individuals had to say that we are going to build a structure that is going to last twice as long as the country it's being built in. Like just really, really out of the box. The cost to build this cathedral was a little under $200 million. That came out to about $3,100 a square foot. This was a very expensive building. It was very pricey, but if you're going to make it last 500 years, especially in an earthquake zone, it's going to cost you something. And here's the point. You can't build something that lasts without giving something that costs. And that's the way it is with your life too. Jesus is talking about building a life that lasts and a life that matters and a life that sustains the storms of life. And so it's going to cost you. In this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is beginning to wrap up his sermon. And he's about ready to land the plane. And before he does that, he shares a powerful truth. And he has just spent the last couple chapters that we've been reading through, the last couple chapters talking about how Christ followers are to live their lives. Like he's saying things like, you know, love your enemies. And he's talking about, you know, like even before the sermon and the Beatitudes, how the meek shall inherit the earth and all of these things. He's giving all these statements. And then he says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He says, anyone, what's that word? Who listens to my teaching and follows, it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. This is a powerful, powerful metaphor on how we are to build our life. Jesus is encouraging us to build a life that lasts, the one that has meaning, a life that has significance. And the way to do that is not only to listen to Jesus's instructions on how to live, but get this, also obey them. Listen and obey. Listen and obey. I want to sit in this very simple but powerful thought for a moment, okay, before I move on. It is possible to know what to do and not do it. Knowing is half the battle. Doing gives you the victory. Let me say that again. Knowing is half the battle, but doing is what gives you the victory. What we're doing right now here is vitally important. I want you to know that. Like what we're doing, you're sitting in a room, one of our locations, maybe right now in your living room or watching on your smartphone or whatever. You are gaining understanding. You are learning what Jesus taught about and how it applies to your life. You're hearing the word of God, which is amazing. All of these things are essential and critical to living a life that's built to last. However, what we're doing right now is we're basically, if we're constructing a life, we're just looking at the blueprints. That's all we're doing. We're just looking at the blueprints as I drop the blueprints. We're looking at the blueprints. We're looking at the way that the house is supposed to be built. We're looking at how a life is supposed to be built, right? It's just the blueprints. And it's important because without blueprints, you're not gonna be able to build the structure the way that the architect wanted it built. Blueprints are the vision put to paper. In other words, blueprints tell you what could be, what is in the mind of the architect, if we actually construct it, what actually physically could materialize. That's what a blueprint is. And in some ways, this book right here, the Bible, this book is our blueprint. Now I don't wanna just limit it to that because sometimes people talk about the Bible and they're like, oh yeah, the Bible is like an owner's manual. And I personally do not like that description. I don't think it's accurate. And here's the reason why. Who reads owner's manuals? Nobody does. Well, maybe some people do, but not many people do, all right? The Bible is way more than an owner's manual, and I would even say it's way more than a blueprint. It's actually the story of God and us. However, in some ways, what God is informing us of is how we're to build our life by using the truths and the commands and the promises of the Word of God to build our life. Without a blueprint, a person is just building something by guessing. They're sitting there going, okay, I think this is how it's supposed to be built. I think if I put this like support beam here, it will last. Whereas an architect is using physics and science and skill in designing the building. In other words, he or she are going, okay, this load-bearing beam put in this portion of the building is gonna support this many tons of weight. It's literally, they can calculate it, they understand it, they're designing it so it's built to last. Just having blueprints and a perfect design doesn't mean that you have a building. You have to build it, you have to construct it. And I know it's like, well, duh, but this is the thing. Just knowing the Word of God is not enough. Some of you are like, really? Yeah, just knowing what the Bible says, knowing the commands of Jesus, knowing the instructions of God, that's good. It's necessary. It's your blueprint, but it is only half of what you need to be doing. The other part of it is you have to obey. So it's taking what you know and it is putting it into practice, because everyone is building something with their lives. Every person is. Every person is building a life right now. Now, you may be building it correctly, or you may be building it incorrectly. You might be building it according to plan, or maybe you're building it by guessing. But you are building something. Every person is building a house, their life, their family, their friendships, their legacy, their spiritual walk with God. Every person is. And Jesus is focusing on the most important part of the building in this metaphor he's giving with rock and sand and all this. He's focusing on a part of the building that, quite honestly, nobody sees and nobody really like gets thrilled about in a physical building, and that is the foundation. Like, you don't walk into that beautiful cathedral in Los Angeles and go, oh my gosh, look at this amazing foundation. You don't do that. You're looking at everything that's built upon the foundation. You're seeing all the beautiful decor. You're seeing the walls. You're seeing the lights. You're seeing the seats. You're seeing all these things. But none of that is gonna last if there isn't a solid foundation. And it's the same way in our walk with God, that the foundation upon which we build our lives is vitally important. Otherwise, everything we built may collapse. Recently, I was talking to a friend of mine who is redoing their outside deck on the back side of their house. And they lived in this house for about 20 years or so. And the deck was starting to show some wear and tear, and they entertain all the time. And it's not abnormal for them to have like 20 people out on the deck for cookouts and things like that. So they hired a builder to come in, and they said, we want to redo our deck, and we want to kind of just make it look a little nicer. It's starting to show wear and tear. And on top of that, we want you to pour a concrete slab underneath the deck for more living and entertaining space. So the builder came and looked and discovered something that was a little bit scary. And that was this, that the builder doing the refurb discovered that the original builder over 20 years ago, when they built the house, instead of putting the posts of the deck into cement sonotubes, and I know some of you may not know what that is, but they're basically big forms that you put into the ground, and you pour cement into them, and it like builds a firm foundation, and from there you put your posts that kind of support your deck. Instead of doing that, the builder just dug little holes and poured them with cement and then put a post in it. So now, 20 years later, they're showing wear and tear. Some of them are starting to lean. They're not very secure. And it's just interesting. It's one of these things where this homeowner realized he has a deck right now that is beginning to shift. And then the ground underneath, he discovered also, was clay. And clay retains water different than dirt does. In fact, I'm gonna take some of you back to the 1980s. If clay is saturated with water, it's kind of like walking on a waterbed. Anybody ever have a waterbed before? I had a waterbed, it was fabulous. Anyway, but you know, it's just kind of like this. So here's the thing. What happens when a deck is not built on a firm foundation? Well, this happens.
In a second, a dream of a day on the Golden Coast of Malibu turned to horror as a deck crowded with young people collapsed, dropping them 15 feet into the jagged rocks below.
We were just chilling. It's a birthday party, and the back deck, and probably like 10 people on the back deck, and we heard a crack. And I literally saw all of my best friends and my girlfriend fall 15 feet to the rocks.
I mean, bummer of a birthday party, right? You see, all of it was ruined because the foundation of the deck was not built secure. And because of that, it collapsed. And Jesus is saying that when you only listen to his commands, but not obey them, you're building a life on a foundation that's not solid, and eventually, when the weight of life is put upon it, it will collapse. Another way of saying it is how Jesus mentioned it in a totally different sermon. He said this, if you love me, obey my commandments. Some people are like, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. Okay, if you love Jesus, do you obey his commandments? Because you can't really love him unless you take seriously what he's saying to you, right? You know, interesting, in this little analogy or metaphor about building a house on rock or sand, Jesus says that really both builders in the story heard Jesus's teachings. Both of them heard the teachings. Proximity was not the problem. Both had access to Jesus. Both heard his words. Both were in his presence. Both, you could kind of say, were sitting in church. Both were in their living rooms right now, watching online. Both of the builders were hearing the Bible stories. They were listening to the sermon. They were participating in worship. The difference was, one of them left Jesus's sermon and put into practice what Jesus said, and the other one just went home and had lunch. It's easy to be in the presence of Jesus, but not allow his words to create change inside of you. Attending church doesn't make you holy. It should end at being holy. I mean, that should be the pathway, right? But the part of it I'm saying is this, just church attendance itself doesn't make you holy. It doesn't make you more like Christ. It doesn't make you love your neighbor anymore. You see, you gotta take what you experience in church and then you gotta put it into practical ways Monday through Saturday. You gotta practice what he said. Put it into play, you could say. James, the author of the book of James, says it this way, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. What does that mean? It's easy to fool yourself to go, well, I went to church, or I listened online. It's easy to go, well, then I've done my part. You've done 50% of the part. The other 50% is now putting it into action. You know, I have a question, and it's kind of like a direct question. What do you know right now that you're not doing? What do you know? You have knowledge that you should be doing something different, but you're not doing it. Like, we all have things, right? I mean, in fact, I would just say, even as I say that, we have a long list. I mean, even in my own life, I'm thinking about, wow, you know, boy, all the things that I know that I should be doing, I'm not doing. All of us have a list. Let me boil that down now. What is the one thing? I'm talking the big thing, the main thing that you know that you should be doing different and you just haven't put it into practice yet. Don't give me the long list because we all have a list, all right? I want to know the big thing. Is it forgiving that person? Is the big thing that maybe you've decided that, you know you should be generous and give back to God, but you just decided you're not going to? Is the big thing that you know, you're supposed to not do that certain habit or whatever that vice is, but yet you like it too much, and you're just kind of like, I don't know. I know I'm not supposed to do it, but I want to do it. I mean, what is it? All of us have that one thing. Don't give me the list. What's the one thing? Well, here's the good news. You can start today in overcoming or changing that one area, okay? Don't take on the list. You're gonna get overwhelmed. You're gonna wanna quit. You're gonna throw in the towel. No, the one thing, the main thing. What is that one thing? You can start today. Why is it important to start building a firm foundation today? It's because storms don't discriminate. In other words, a storm is coming. The enemy will make sure of it. It isn't whether a storm will come, it's more like, when is it coming? I remember about 4 years ago, I was here at the Spring Creek location, and it was raining outside, and all of a sudden, the sirens started to go off in the city. Now, where we live in the Midwest, we can get some crazy storms and sometimes tornadoes, and when the sirens go off, it means there's a tornado in the area, and that's exactly what happened that day. Sirens go off, and I will say this. There are two types of people that live in the Midwest when a storm rolls in. There are those that hear the sirens and go to the basement, and there are those that pull out a lawn chair to watch what's going on, kind of like this. Well, the second type of person is me. When the sirens go off, I told all the staff, I mean, we sent kind of like a message across all the staff and all the areas of the church. We're like, hey, seek shelter. And then I looked at a couple of the staff and I'm like, come with me, come on. And we went and we started to see what was going on. We're looking out the windows and it started to get crazy. Like literally a tornado was forming near the church here and moving towards the church. And the wind started to pick up and I mean, it was crazy. Trees are beginning to like literally huge trees are bending over. I mean, the wind was picking up. Well, we found out later that the tornado literally passed over our building, like literally went over City First. And as I'm looking out the window and I'm seeing things are getting kind of crazy, I actually looked at this couple staff that were with me and I go, you know what, guys? I think this is a real one. We need to get down to the basement. And so we went real quickly to the basement. After the storm, we discovered over $2 million worth of damage to this facility, done to our roofs, our HVAC units, to our sports field. We had to cut down over 100 trees that had either fallen over or got damaged in the storm. It was crazy. And I just want to say, that's what life is like sometimes. Storms come in. Could be a sickness. Could be a relational breakup. You're like, oh, this relationship's going to last forever. And then all of a sudden, it hits the rocks. Maybe it's a layoff. Maybe it's a downturn in the economy. Maybe your retirement fund starts to dry up. Maybe a friend who you trusted betrays you. Whatever it is, all hell breaks loose. The storm rolls in. And at first you think to yourself, okay, I can handle this. And then the storm gets a little too intense and you're like, I need to run for shelter. See, the storm does not expose your persona, it exposes your foundation. Your persona is everything that got built on the foundation of your faith. And so you know what? The storm doesn't test your personality or your moxie or even your resourcefulness, really. Some storms, they test the very foundation of what you believe. And faith needs to be built in a way like a firm foundation is built for a building to be built on top of it. In other words, your faith is the foundation everything else is built on in your life. And faith is built in two ways. The Bible says faith comes by hearing or hearing the word, and also faith comes by experience. Like when I get the word of God in me, I'm building my faith. I'm creating a firm foundation. So when the storms come and the wind blows, I can stand firm. Also, when I've stepped out in faith before, had experience where God has helped me, it also builds my faith. In other words, past obedience fuels future obedience. Every act of obedience strengthens my next yes. So when a storm comes, I can pull back historically and I can say, God helped me then, he's gonna help me now. This is one of the reasons why Jesus says to listen and obey. It's because when you put Jesus's teachings into practice, it's easier to obey him again and again. Obedience builds momentum. When the future storms come, and I'll tell you this, that those storms will be bigger than the ones you've encountered before. Seems like in my life, the older I get, the bigger the storms are. When those storms come, you can reach back to to the time that God helped you in previous storms, and he will help you again. You have a confidence. If you obeyed God, it paid off, so you obey again. It's interesting in the book of Revelation, which speaks a lot about end times, it states this about Christ followers. It says in Revelation 12, 11, and they, meaning Christians, have defeated him, meaning Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, meaning Jesus' blood on the cross, and by their testimony. Now let's just break this down a minute. They, meaning us, have defeated the enemy by what Jesus did on the cross and by our testimony. You see, I think this is important. What helps us build a life that is built to last on a firm foundation is our testimony. What's a testimony? It's when the story of how God saved you is told. My testimony is how God saved me. Now, I'm not just talking that first time. I raised my hand in a service. I want Jesus to be the leader and the forgiver of my life. And I invited him in and he saved me. Yes, that was the beginning. But God has saved me hundreds and hundreds and thousands of times since then. When I prayed and he answered my prayer, when he gave me the ability to make it through something that I thought that I would never make it through. Every time God saves me, that's a part of my testimony. You know, it's kind of like I have this God file. Some of you heard me talk about this before. But it's like, this is a file of all the things that God has done for me throughout the years and the decades. This is an account of the times that God helped me, and you have a God file too. It's the times that God helped you overcome, the times that he forgave you, the times that he empowered you, the times that he gave you grace, the times that he gave you wisdom. Like, all of us have a God file. In fact, the shepherd boy David had a God file when he took on Goliath, the giant. In fact, the Bible says that David, when he was a young boy, had taken on bears and lions that were trying to attack the flock of sheep that he was guarding, and he defeated them. So now he's up against a Philistine giant. And what does he say? He goes, well, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Why? Because it's a part of his testimony. And the storm that is coming now is not as daunting because God has helped him through previous storms. God helped him before. God will help him again. And when you have this kind of faith, it builds a firm, solid foundation, a house on a rock, you could say. See, many people, when a storm comes, they give up hope because they don't have a God file. They've never acknowledged that God has helped them before. They never called upon him. Or if they do have a God file, they forget where they put it. It's so easy to forget how God has helped us before, because the storm that we're facing is bigger than the other storms that we've been in. And we get panicked and we get full of fear. We don't remember how God helped us before. And our foundation becomes shaky. In 1992, I was sick for an entire year. I've talked about this before. Doctors didn't know what the problem was. I went to doctor after doctor after doctor, even went to Mayo Clinic at one point. And they couldn't find out what was wrong. They saw the symptoms. They didn't realize or couldn't figure out what the root of it was. And so people prayed for me for an entire year, laid hands on me, prayed for me. Even some really well-known pastors. Nothing happened. I was still sick as a dog. And then one day, I don't know why, but one day I started to feel different. And I felt that I'd gotten healed. And since then, I've never had those symptoms ever again. It literally was like crossed the line. Now, I can't even tell you why. I can't tell you why those prayers before didn't work in an instant. They ended up working, but why all of a sudden just one random day I felt like all my symptoms went away? I don't know. But I'll tell you this, it's a part of my God file. It's part of my testimony. And when I get sick, I remember if God healed me once, he can heal me again. In 2007, when I became the pastor of this church, the church was practically bankrupt. Couldn't pay payroll. I had to lay off all kinds of people right after I took over. We couldn't pay our bills. We prayed. We asked God. We were like, God, Jed and I get on our knees. We're like, God, you got to save your church. You got to help us. And we became good stewards to the best of our ability of what we did have. And God all of a sudden began to give us more. And by 2012, City First became the seventh fastest growing church in the nation. So guess what? In 2020, when COVID hit and churches were closing and there were all these struggles and finances and, you know, churches were struggling to pay the bills and things like that, I remembered a God that helped us back in 2007. And I thought if he helped us in 2007, he'll help us in 2020. See, it's a part of my testimony. It's a part of the God file. You're here today, aren't you? You're like, yeah, I am. Okay. Well, the storms of the past didn't take you out, which means the storms that you are facing right now will not take you out. If God helped you through the other storms, he'll help you through this storm. See, it's how you're building the firm foundation. You're realizing that the God who loves you is with you. He has not abandoned you. He cares about you. And he has instructions for you, and you have to put them into play. You have to obey. As you listen to Jesus' teachings, obey him as you're facing the storms. And it's giving you a firm foundation that your house, the life that you are living, one that is glorifying to God, is gonna withstand the storms that are coming your way. Oh, church, let's have a faith that is built to last, not a faith that doesn't have a foundation or house built on sand. Instead, let's say, God, we want to listen and we want to obey. Everybody, let's bow our heads and close our eyes at every location. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we don't want to be just hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. We don't want to just sit here on a weekend and listen to the teaching. But God, we want to put it into play Monday through Saturday. And in doing so, God, we believe that you are going to give us a firm, solid bedrock of a foundation upon which our life will be built, and it will be built to last through the storms of this life. God, may we remember our God file. May we remember all of the times that you've helped us before. Even the very fact that we are here today and life has not taken us out is a testimony of a good God. So Lord, whatever is coming our way, we choose to trust you. We choose to obey you. We choose, Lord God, to build a life with you as the architect and your word as the blueprint. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Come on, let's give God a huge round of applause. Can we do that?
Church, if you're able, would you stand with us? We're gonna sing in faith today, believing that we can put our trust in God. Oh, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations.
sensing and wanting to make a decision to give your life to God and to live for Him, we would love to just lead you in that moment. Yes. It's fairly simple. All you have to do is just take a moment and close your eyes and bow your head and repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord, I know that I've made mistakes and I need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins. I now invite you to be the leader and forgiver of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Congratulations to making one of the most significant and important decisions that you can ever make. Yep. And here's a few things. Firstly, you should not keep this to yourself.
Yes.
Take a moment and share it with a loved one. Also, we would love to lead you and help you with the next steps and of this decision that you just made. So scan the QR code that's on your screen right now to get a free resource called New Beginnings. Yep.
That's right. Another great resource that we have for you is Growth Track. Mm-hmm. And the nice part about Growth Track is you can do it online and at your own pace. And really what it is, it's just designed to help you discover your God-given gifts and talents and the purpose that He has for your life. We also want to encourage you to download the City First app so you can stay updated with all things City First. Drop prayer requests, see the events that are happening, find community, and really just be updated with everything City First. Well, we love you guys. We're so grateful that you chose to tune in today. We'll see you next time.